Winston Planning Commission, November 29th, 7 o'clock. It's 2023.
All right. November 29th, 2023, it's 7 o'clock. This meeting is called to order. Shall we stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the Planning Commission as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The Commission reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue.
Madam Chair, can you get a roll call?
Oh, I probably should do that, shouldn't I? Why do anything in order? Rex, let's start with you, shall we?
Rex Stevens.
Rob Price.
Renee Morgan.
Steve Johnson.
All right, Community Development Department reports.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, members of the audience. Thanks for coming. Just a couple things for you in regards to the update or progress on a couple grant processes that we are currently going through. As you can recall, we applied with the Department of Land Conservation Development for a technical assistance grant for an economic opportunities analysis. That's a really long buzzword for an analysis that looks at your commercial and industrial stock, or land that's zoned commercial, industrial. More specifically, what they do is they look at your vacant land versus your developed land to figure out. We went through this with the housing needs analysis. It's very similar, only with commercial and industrial. So we did hear back that we scored very high. They take a lot of things into account. It's a $55,000 grant. That would be fully funded. The HNA was 52, so it's comparable there. The only difference here, and the nice thing, is we could use our EOA to piggyback off of potentially redoing our urban renewal district. There's a lot of elements in there that our consultant could use and hopefully drive the price down, because there is a grant for that through the same venue, but it would only look at the URA district. Instead, the EOA looks at the entire city, commercial, industrial stock. So we felt it more prudent to go after that opportunity.
Is that going to take about a year then?
We have to get word back that we've got it.
Oh, okay.
And then they would assign us a consultant, and then I would imagine it would take around the same amount of time as our H&A. That's our EOA, or economic opportunities analysis. That's one of the things that we would bundle up with our legislative amendments. That's why we're not in any hurry with them, because we have to turn around and just do another one in short order.
Yeah.
It's the same, switching gears, it's the same thing with our State Corps of Engineers floodway analysis grant for Looking Glass Creek. What I want to do is pop up. I want to do some visual aids here, and I won't take up much time with this prior to kicking off our public hearing. Don't fall asleep on me, please.
Should I leave one on?
This is gonna boot up here. Maybe the back one.
Leave the back one on.
Yeah, is the back? Is that
it's dark? But it's
that I can't see.
It'll come on. It's gonna warm
up. It warms up and it gets better.
It's a little better now. Plus, my eyes were in shock with the.
Okay. See, there, it's getting better. So, if you can see, actually, we'll make it even easier here. We'll put the layer on just to show you kind of what we're working with. Here's the floodplain layer. The red's the floodway. This red here. This is essentially, oh no, in the event of a flood, major flood, the red is kind of what the river turns into.
That's 99 going south, right?
42.
Oh, 42?
Yeah. 42. The blue.
Okay.
The blue is the 100-year flood plain. More worried about spreading out ponding. More worried about elevating houses instead of, in this area, we're worried about how you're going to affect people downstream. Are you going to push water on? Are you going to change the behavior of the flood? You see this wonky green color here? We've talked about this, but this is where the data just stops. This is called an approximate A zone or an unnumbered A zone. And in this area over here where you see the different colors, we know where the floodway is and the floodplain. But here, we know that the floodway and floodplain are somewhere in there, and we know that these boundaries represent potential inundation of floodwater, but we just don't know where the separation is. And that lack of data, why does that lack of data matter? Because if you take a look over here at this, and I'll turn this off, at this teal line here, that's our urban growth boundary line. The dark green is our city limit line. The kind of teal color is our UGB. So Looking Glass Creek, figuring that out, getting that analyzed, will help towards our UGB expansion in this area. Right? So that there's a lot of legwork we have to get done in order to, as a precursor to our amendment package. And this is just one. So we know that they're going to ask, what are your natural feature situations over there? Well, you don't know. There's question marks around it. So with the anticipation, we know we're going to have to deal with that. Just get a grant. Let's knock it out and figure out what the condition of the flood looks like over in that. So the reason I bring that up is because we also heard back from that grant avenue that it's probably a 99% chance that we've got that money too. That's an $85,000 grant. There's engineering work, extensive, and we have an engineer here. He can tell you there's a lot of engineering work that has to go in. There's on-site conditional work that has to be done in terms of working out that analysis to delineate which zone is which. So that'll be a very advantageous grant opportunity for us. That'll probably springboard sometime in February.
So when they do that, they'll take a look at everything from the topography, the water runoff, everything, right?
The crux of their analysis, that I think they're mostly looking at the riverbed conditions. They'll lay down what's called cross sections. And it's essentially a profile or a snapshot of that portion of the river.
Okay.
And the riverbed. And they'll do several of those, and they're called cross-sections, in order to map. The city will actually have to go through a letter of map revision with FEMA, because FEMA has this now for what our flood insurance rate map says. But once we get that delineated, we'll have to actually go through an amendment and have FEMA accept it, which they should if the analysis is there and the numbers are shored up. And so those are two grant processes that we're fairly excited about. Both of them will take including in our amendment package, along with the other things that we've been talking about in terms of code changes. We've got a plethora of things that are just kind of in the hopper.
Are they going to work like the other one where they meet with us like every quarter or something?
No, not that one. The engineering crew, or however they orchestrate it, will do what they need to do in order to get the analysis done. And then they won't, but the letter of map revision process through FEMA, we will do some of those meetings with them.
Okay.
FEMA loves their meetings. And that's fine, because we want it has to be a transparent process. We'll have open houses. One of the things that we have to keep in mind is if they're fully delineating that part of Looking Glass, how then does the change in the condition of the flood data affect property owners? These people need to be able to have a platform.
It could work against us, couldn't it?
I see very little cons and a lot of pros.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, if we're doing a UGB swap or amendment package, we've got to know the condition of the flooding out there.
Well, since there isn't a lot of data for the 64 flood, which would be the 100-year flood for that particular area, and then they've got the dam that went in up there at Ben Irving. And I don't know what the county has out there for the Looking Glass watershed. You know, we may come out better than we think.
The county was included in these meetings when we were applying because the application was offered to be dual submittal. County and the city filing together. The county checked with, or the county planning director consulted with the commissioners, and they elected not to do anything past our city limits and into their jurisdiction. Because if we turn this back on, you'll notice that goes all the way out into county jurisdiction where there's no data. It's all in approximate zone.
Yep.
But the commissioners do not want, it's not worth any kind of change or...
Well, it's all ag property.
Well, even though, aren't they seeing that that's the way this city's growing, is west? You would think that they would want that for the next 20 years or 30 years out, because that's the way Winston's growing, is out that way.
I don't know that the county or any kind of elected officials are really turned on to the fact that we have a UGB expansion project potentially in the cooker. I don't.
So. No.
They were just thinking in terms of how is that going to affect their property owners, and they elected to not apply with the city, which is fine. We don't think it'll have a negative impact on our citizens. We think, if anything, this is just going to offer more data in terms of preparation. So it'll go probably up to about this area here.
If it went out farther, though, wouldn't it be beneficial for the homeowners out there as far as their homeowners insurance, their flood insurance and stuff, if they have to have it?
Could be worse.
Yeah.
The data could
they
show
don't have
that
it
the
now.
Floodplain is expanded in some fashion.
Well, yeah, if the data they have is 30 or 40 years old, you would think that the newer data would, you know.
Just make them happen. Past our city limits, it's going to be county's decision.
Yeah.
They essentially made their decision, but we were willing to file together with them and correlate in that regard. But definitely there's a jurisdictional decision on their part. Happy to answer any other questions. Those are just the two updates I have in terms of the report.
Do you have any idea of when this may get approved?
What's that?
These grants. When they'll be accepted?
Both of them, we're anticipating hearing something anytime in terms of if we get it or not, but both of them look like they're going to move forward, in my estimation.
Give us something to work with for after the first of the year, maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, shall we move on to old business? It looks like we have 3 months' worth of planning meetings to approve.
I move that we accept the consent agenda for the planning minutes for August 2nd, September 20th, and October 18th.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. New business. We have a public hearing for David Duke's request for a site review, multifamily development, and property line adjustment on both 0.24 and 0.47 acre units of land lying inside of the city limits. Subject property is described as tax lots 901 and 902, respectively, in section 21 AC Township 28S, range 6 West WM, property ID numbers R120753 and R120755. The property is located off Southeast Gregory Drive, directly east of its intersection with Southeast Edwards Avenue. The property under review is designated residential, 16 dwelling units per acre, and zoned residential high density. Planning Department file number 23-W007.
Madam Chair, you can go to page 3 of your...
On the... All right. I will now open the hearing for the request for the site review and boundary line adjustment. Planning Department file number 23-W007. Party status. We will now establish for the record those persons who have party status in this hearing. For the record, I will note that the applicant and the city each have party status. Is there anyone present who is an affected agency or owns property within 150 feet of the subject property who wants party status? Is there anyone who may be specially, personally, adversely, and substantially affected by the outcome of this proceeding who believes they are entitled to party status? Has staff received any written requests for party status?
We have not.
Ex parte conflict or disclosures. The Planning Commission is concerned that this hearing be fair to all parties, both in substance and in appearance. Therefore, it is important that we establish for the record that all members of the Commission are able to hear and decide this request in a fair and objective manner. Do any members of the Commission have a financial interest in the property, which is the subject of this hearing?
No.
Do any members stand to gain or lose any financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
Have any members discussed this matter with the appellate or any other interested party prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
Have any commission members met as a group to discuss this matter prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
Do any members wish to disclose any facts which might create the appearance that they may have a conflict of interest or are otherwise unable to participate in this hearing in a fair and objective manner?
No.
Does any party have an objection to any of the planning commissioners participating in this hearing? Now that the Planning Commission has been qualified, we will proceed with the hearing. Staff report. Will staff please present the written staff reports?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, members of the audience. I'd like to acknowledge that the applicant's representatives, Matt and Alex from Pinnacle Engineering, are here this evening. It's been great to work with. They orchestrate a tremendous operation over there in Green District, have a nice outfit, and have really done the applicant a good turn with good materials and have worked really good with the city. So appreciate them coming tonight. I'd like to offer for the commission and the audience some visual aids. I'd like to start with identifying where the property is located, essentially in the city. So if you were to travel down Southeast Main and turn left on Edwards, you're going to run right into the property. It's essentially maybe 60 feet to the north if you take a left. It's this property and this property. So it constitutes a flag lot and a middle kind of square lot, 0.24 acres, and another 0.47 acre piece. You'll notice that there is a concurrent application being filed, and we will go through the criteria for that for a boundary line adjustments. One of the reasons it was filed is because the way that the development is being proposed would accomplish three triplex units related to the site review and the multifamily development, but it also encompasses utilizing the entire square footage for both lots, which are both owned by the property owner. The property is zoned residential high density. It has a plan designation of 16 dwelling units per acre. There is no division proposal. There's essentially a proposal for full build out of both of these lots. What I'd like to do is go over quickly the partition plat that was filed in 2001. This is when all three of these properties were originally divided in 2001. Parcel 3 and parcel 2 are the subject properties. You'll notice via this flag lot, there's a 25-foot access and utility easement that parcel 3 and parcel 2 have to utilize in order to access their properties. Since it's both in the same ownership, they can both be utilized from an access standpoint. So there's one more visual aid that we will just kind of culminate around that I think will help orchestrate the point the best, and that is the applicant's conceptual plan. Now, if this is too dark, let me know. We can scroll in a little bit here. This is a very detailed conceptual plan that runs completely in concert with all of the code provisions in the Winston Municipal Code. And we don't necessarily have to go through all of them, but some of the just broad strokes, you're going to see a triplex here, a triplex here, and a triplex here. The access coming in would be completely utilized in a multifamily capacity with the width that's required in terms of surfacing and curb work. There's also parking spaces. Multifamily requires 1.5 parking spaces per dwelling unit. So you can see ample parking taking place in all three for all three units to facilitate to them. You'll also see a water line, a sewer line coming down, being stubbed into Gregory, which is over here. And the applicant's representative and engineer did a great job of illustrating.
So those lines aren't in yet?
The lines that he's proposed, these lines here, no. These lines are being proposed to facilitate to these dwelling units.
So it just comes up to the end of the driveway right now?
No. The water and sewer, there's only our main lines that are in the street.
Oh.
The water is with the water district, so they had to correlate with the Winston-Dillon
right.
Water District. Our sewer line, we've got a 8-inch main line that runs north-south, subgrade of Gregory.
Wow.
So they would have to connect into that, bring it down, and facilitate a connection to each of these dwelling units. Another thing that is always analyzed in this regard is the storm. How are you going to mitigate runoff and avoid adverse impacts? You'll notice this big bioswale here. That is meant to capture all of the water from this new impervious surface. It goes into there, and then there's a connection that we have an existing city storm line that serves several tax lots. It's kind of degraded and deficient, but it'll serve its purpose in this regard, and it'll essentially discharge into there. There is a couple of things to keep in mind, just because this is about 5 feet. We did go through a negotiation process, and we were requiring a privacy fence because these bioswales, sometimes they get, if they're not kept up with, they kind of bug infested, different stuff like that. So we're requiring a maintenance plan on how this is to be maintained so it can maintain its efficiency. Also a privacy screening along the south property line, 6 feet with a visual obstruction, which is not typical, but the applicant has agreed to those conditions.
Thank you for kind of explaining that. I wasn't exactly sure what a bioswell incorporated in what it was used for.
Yep, so. Collects water. The water right now is doing X. After you put all this in, it's going to be doing Y, right? So the big question is are we going to cause the water to be displaced and run off now on the property? So typically, in concert with these developments, you've got to figure out a way to either put it in an existing city system, storm system, or you got to find a way to capture it and detain it and then put it in there. And that's the applicant's engineer did a great job. This is the proposal. This is the storm line that gets connected into our existing storm line. So That's the proposal. There also is a, in conjunction with that, there is a drainage analysis. And what we have to look at is what's the cubic per, foot per second runoff pre-development and what is it post-development? Well, when you do something like that, the post-development number is always going to be more, right?
Yeah.
So what do you need to do to get it back to the pre-numbers? And this is something that would accomplish that. So transitioning up, any questions on that?
A question on the access. Now, just to the east of that flag lot entry area, you've got Hatches have a their own driveway there. Is there any way that they could be adjoined together?
You're talking, I've got the map back up here. You're talking to the east over here?
No, oh, I'm sorry. It would be to the north.
To the north?
Yeah.
These lots...
No. Let's see.
You're
right,
talking here.
Right there. Yeah, right there.
These lots were platted in such a fashion that this is a legal 25-foot access and utility easement. So, okay. And in answer to that question, the only way that this access could be dual or facilitated is if they agree.
Okay.
People typically don't. They don't want to share their existing driveway or their existing access.
Because they would be abutting each other. That's why.
Yeah. And one of the things we can do here, let's see. This is something I sometimes like to do. You'll notice the condition of Gregory. Mm. This is theirs right there.
Yeah.
This is our subject property that's going in. So we've got trees and different nominal things in between. They're probably going to maintain their gravel driveway area. I'm going to try to go up just a little bit more. Here we go.
Yeah, now that right there is the one that the Hatches have.
Yeah, that's this.
No, not that one. It's the other one. That one.
This, I think, goes all the way back to the subject property, which would then, you turn right and it would be to the south.
I thought where that pickup is sitting, I thought that was the property line.
That used to be Grant Brown's property there. And that's a small piece which says it's the Rural American Enterprise.
This here is this one.
No.
Hatch.
No.
Can't be.
No.
Carlotta Hatch.
No. That's the one right next to it, out towards the front. No.
Where Winston's, where it says
there.
It's that property.
This one?
Yeah. That's
Rural America Enterprise.
That's
it's a driveway for the property to the north.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is the driveway that you just showed us, that is that one right there. That is the one that Carlita Hatch uses to access her property and the ones behind her.
I see. Okay.
That's why I was...
This area here, for the purposes of the land use application, the 25 feet is sufficient for the three triplexes that they're proposing. They're going to have to surface a lot of it and meet the requirements. And if the neighbors want to go in on something with access, that essentially was never proposed. But you have to get a neighbor that agrees.
Well, the only reason that when I was looking at this... It was talking about some trees were going to have to be removed, and the trees that would have to be removed, and one of them would be redwood, and that would be on that. There's a fence running through there right now to the right of it as you're going in. So, is that kind of the where you guys are?
I mean, yeah, but there's a land survey that's performed on it, so
yeah,
you should know exactly where those trees are in relation to the property.
Right.
There will be some trees that will need to be removed in order to facilitate that access.
Yeah, because it just looks like that it's the...
And that 25-foot access that you guys are putting in there, the fire department signed off on that already? That's wide enough for their truck?
Yeah, it'll meet fire truck turnaround requirements.
That's part of the review is the right-of-way width requirements that are housed in our code typically run in concert with that.
Yeah.
But the fire department was notified through the notification process, and there was no response. So, in conclusion, staff does recommend approval for the site review for multifamily development along with the boundary line adjustment, subject to the following conditions of approval. And I'd like to I'm going to just put them up here so we can So number one, the proposed multifamily development must substantially conform to the request as presented. Number two, the property owner shall be required to mark the access driveway to parking areas to indicate one-way or two-way access. Number three, the proposed marking maneuvering areas shall be durable dust-free surfacing of asphalt concrete to meet the requirements. The proposed parking areas shall be graded as to not drain stormwater over the public sidewalks or onto any abutting public or private property. Number four, the proposed parking area shall provide a curb of not less than 4 inches in height, located at a minimum of 5 feet from any property line. Number five, all parking spaces are required to be sufficiently marked with painted stripes or other permanent markings acceptable to the city manager or designee. Number six, the applicant must install a site obscuring privacy fence at least 6 feet in height along the southern property line to offer a visual obstruction of the proposed drainage bioswale. Number seven, the property owner shall submit a maintenance plan for the proposed bioswale to ensure it's properly cleaned and operates efficiently. Number eight, the applicant property owner must install 1.5 parking spaces, 9x18, for each dwelling unit. Number nine, the property owner shall submit verification from Winston Public Works that the proposed sewer line has been installed per their specifications. Number 10, the property owner shall submit verification from Winston-Dillard's Water District that the proposed water line and master meter have been installed per their specifications. Number 11, after the 12-day appeal period has expired and the above conditions have been met, the applicant shall contact the City of Winston to obtain a planning clearance worksheet. Number 12 through 16 are the through 17 are the boundary line adjustment platting requirements. Alternative two, the Planning Commission can approve with conditions or modify conditions or omit conditions. Number three or alternative three is the Planning Commission could request a continuance or pass a motion to deny.
I'm just curious, how deep is that pond, that catch pond, catch basin?
Says on here.
It's not true.
Does it say how deep it is?
20 feet on one side, it looks like 25 feet on the other. No, that's percentage.
It should be 1 foot contours, so it should have
four or 5 feet deep.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That makes sense. 20 feet doesn't make any sense.
It's also designed to be.
Well, I was just curious if you are planning on, I know there's going to be a fence around it and stuff, but there's probably going to be small kids around there, so it'll be want to be locked and secured, I would think.
Well, there's going to be a fence along the southern property line.
Not around the pond itself?
No. Well, they have to get to it and maintain it. It has to do its job. But
this is just like
this
the one up at the community center.
This isn't like a pond that's...
Oh, okay, okay.
No,
okay.
It won't have water in it.
No, okay. It won't have standing water in it. It'll actively drain.
You know the ones that's up at the community center?
Yeah.
Those dips.
There's also the ones by the co-op.
Yeah.
You drive and turn the co-op.
Okay.
Those are swales, too.
Okay.
But you'll notice you never really see any water in there. It's because they do their job.
Yeah. Okay.
During a design storm event, it's the only time you'd see water in them. And they're usually designed to drain within 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's only holding that water for that design storm event, which is 25 years.
Yeah. You know. Okay.
So, does the applicant wish to present any testimony other than what we've already seen? Okay, do I have a motion for an alternative, 1, 2, or 3?
I make a motion that we accept alternative
You'll have to make a motion to close the public hearing.
Yes. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Sure you are.
That's why I stopped. Because I knew what he was going to say.
I need a motion to close this hearing.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm fine.
Okay.
And all in favor? We did that? Okay, we're good. Excuse me, just a moment. Okay, let's try that again. Now, do we have a motion for alternative 1, 2, or 3?
I make a motion that we accept alternative number 1.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried.
Want to get a sip of water?
She just did.
Oh.
Sorry, nothing like choking on your own saliva.
You got emotional over this one, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Just a second, I gotta get back to my agenda. Do we have any other business going? No? What then? I do believe this meeting is closed and the hearing is over. Everyone have a good night.
Meeting is adjourned.
Meeting is adjourned.
You okay?
You okay?
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys.
See you.
Meeting adjourned, 7:37.